In the 7th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, ask. Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 7 through verses 11. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asked bread, would he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, are subject to doing the wrong thing, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? Could you say it with me? How much more? Shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? The thought in the subject of prayer, you know, let's just be realistic today. I'm not going to ask you what you've lost in the stock market. I'm not going to ask how many. I know my retirement has been reduced substantially and across the nation. And this thing has not gone away. And we need God's help in this nation. Whether you have something or whether you have nothing, we need God's help. And last Sunday morning I said, we don't need, you know, we think money is the answer to everything. Yeah, money's fine, but the problem is money spends, and then where are you? We don't need more money. That's not the first answer. The first answer is more God. We don't need more money. We need more God. Now, I know we have to have money to pay the bills and the mortgages and car payments or truck payments or whatever. But let me tell you something. When God's people throughout the Old Testament would turn to God, God would turn things around for them. Peter made mistakes, but he turned to Jesus. And the conclusion of Peter's life was a beautiful thing. The most important thing, I'm not trying to preach a message or a sermon. I'm trying to just give you a message that has just been going over and over in my heart. When that happens, I ride on everything. I ride on bills. I ride on correspondence. I may be eating lunch and I'll find myself borrowing something to ride on. But the most important thing a believer can do in this hour is to pray. The most important thing a church can do is to pray. Notice I said believer. You've got to know Jesus, you know, for the prayer to make a difference and for a church prayer to make a difference. The most important thing we can do, you know, I have prayed to God for the last few days. I said, God, what can I do? I'm just a pastor. I know we have, God's given us a lot of influence internationally as well as locally, but sometimes you feel so helpless in the natural. God, what can I do? I want to make a difference. The cry of my heart is to try to make a difference in people's lives, to make a difference in the world, to say something or do something or just to be an example, to be something that would encourage others in their walk along life's pathway. But the most important thing that a believer can do is to pray. The most important thing that a pastor or a staff can do is to pray. Satan will do anything to stop a believer from praying. And I think Mark Carillo said it best in a message here recently. You can't undo 20 hours of watching television with 20 minutes of reading the Bible. That input is all kind of chips in your spirit. You don't realize all the input that comes in through all the media and all the things that happen. So Satan will do everything within his power to stop a believer from praying. Well, that doesn't mean we walk around with a halo on our head bumping into lamp poles and, you know, a Bible under each arm. I'm talking about maintaining a reverential attitude toward God. Have you ever just been eating lunch and all of a sudden something said, quietly, just pray for a moment or two? That's the leading of God's Spirit. Have you ever been on your way to work and And your mind was just going like a shutter on a camera. And something said, talk to God. Don't just let your thoughts go wild. Talk to God. Zero in on what God has said about life. The most important thing a church can do is to pray, because Satan knows he cannot stop a praying church. Satan cannot stop a praying church, and Satan cannot stop a praying preacher. John the Baptist could not be stopped. They had to behead him to stop him, and then they promoted him. The Apostle Paul the same way. Paul said, do what you've got to do. I've got to serve God. So Satan knows that he cannot stop a praying believer or a praying church. Jesus started his ministry after prayer. You say, well, what seminary did he? I'm not knocking seminaries, but I'm telling you, he went to the seminary of the Holy Ghost and spent 40 days with God. Of course, he spent a lifetime of being obedient, growing in favor with God and with man. That'll get you a good head start in life. You can be book smart, but spiritually dead. You can be theologically brilliant, but not know how to face the common problems of life. Jesus started his ministry after prayer. Jesus prayed to the Father before Calvary, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the problem in America. We've got this entitlement mentality. I want everything I want, and I want it now, and I couldn't care less about you. We've got to change our mentality. Thy will be done. What is the will of God? What is the will of God? Jesus commanded them to go pray until. Pray until. Those were the final commands. He prayed for them, and then he blessed them, and then he ascended to the Father. But he commanded them to pray until. And of course, you know the results of the second chapter of the book of Acts, which jettisoned the early church into beginning to do all that God has called the New Testament church to do. The early church was birthed in a prayer meeting. The early church continued in a prayer meeting. They returned to their own praying. I put praying in there, but they returned to their own company. I mean, when they got out of the hot spot, they couldn't wait to get back to praying people. The early church continued strong through praying. How in the world was it that they said, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also? Because the early church was a praying church. Peter was released from prison because of a prayer meeting. Often said, if I ever got put in prison, especially falsely, pray for me. They prayed for Peter. Prayed him out of prison. God shook a jail and released Paul and Silas because of prayer and praise unto God. Paul taught us that there be prayer without ceasing in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Pray without ceasing. Again, this is not walking around, don't talk to me, you know, you can't even conduct a conversation. That's not what I'm saying. But inside of you, there is an attitude of love and reverence and respect unto God. And it doesn't take the drop of a hat. In fact, that's too slow for you to shift gears and to start talking to God about your schedule or your day or what's going on. 276 sailors' lives were spared because Paul prayed in Acts 27. Think about it. You know, we've celebrated. His nickname was Sully. He was that awesome pilot that put that plane down in the Hudson. And I haven't heard any pilot talk about that, but what they have had the highest and utmost respect for that man. And of course, we know God's grace was right in the middle of it. We understand that. But what was it? 150-something lives were saved. Here, 276. This ought to make the news too. 276 sailors' lives were spared because Paul prayed on board that ship. Just a few for instances. You know, John's end time revelation came on Patmos as he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. We have the book of Revelation because a man was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. The hope of our nation is not more money. The hope of our, listen to me, the hope of our nation, we're drunk on this money thing. We're printing it. It's funny money. Sanity has got to return to our nation. You're spending billions of dollars to figure out why a hog stinks or why cow manure has an odor. You're in trouble. What I'm saying is get people jobs. Help people where it really helps people. Amen. Now, and I know anytime I speak, I leave myself open, but I'm talking to you from my heart. I got a letter a few days ago, and you might have received some of the same correspondence from Brother Kenneth Copeland. And on the letter, just written on the side of it, it says something, another one of those, like someday every day will be Sunday. Here's another keeper for a long time. Stay on God's side of everything. Now let that mellow. Let that stay on God's side of everything. Not Calvary Cathedral side, not my side, not your side, but stay on God's side. Well, I just believe that all roads lead to heaven. That's not God's side. Well, I just believe this or I believe that. Well, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but it's got to line up with the Word of God. And let me tell you, as best I know how, are we perfect? No. Am I perfect? No. But what this church is all about, I mean, that's my heart. Stay on God's side. If I know what is God's side, I want to stay there. I won't want to preach there. I want our church to be on that track. Stay on God's side of everything. What I think, what you think, doesn't make any difference. What does God think? What has God said? So shall my word be. God's book is not a funny paper. God's book, the Holy Bible, is a contract, a covenant contract from God Almighty to all who will read it and believe it and embrace it in their life. Stay on God's side of everything. Isn't that good? That's so right, you know it's right. You can't improve on God's side. Not my side, not your side, but what does God's word have to say? Now, over in 2 Chronicles, I mean, that's a go-to book and that's a go-to chapter. But I want to ask you the question with all that we've said so far. What happens when people pray? What is the biblical record of what happens when people pray? Over in Genesis, the Bible said there was a beginning or an origin, a time of prayer. In fact, let me turn to it to make sure that we get all the right quotes here. But it's in the fourth chapter of Genesis, verse 26. The latter part of that verse said, folks, this is, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. This is the first recorded prayer in the Bible. The first recorded prayer in the Bible, which to me makes it very special. Why did it take four chapters? And why is it right here? That's with God. But then began, they started, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And folks, that's the hope of our nation. I'm going to tell you, the hope of our nation is not in politics. And leadership is all important. But I'm talking to you, I mean, if you have any sense, I mean, I'm mad as fire about losing money. I mean, I've worked hard for, I've been pastoring now coming on 45 years. I've done the right thing. Didn't start saving until later than I should have. But, you know, when you've lost something, it makes you think, doesn't it? You lose your favorite pen or you lose something that's of value to you, you start looking for it. It's like the woman with a coin. But what do we do? In 2 Chronicles 20, they were facing their nation becoming a heathen nation. And I know we still have in God we trust, but I'm very jealous about the United States of America. I want us, you say, well, we're not a Christian nation. In that sense of the word, I know what you're saying, but don't gloat in it. Don't dwell on that. Help me turn this ship around. I know. And I'm not worried about hurting Buddha's feelings. I'm not worried about hurting Mohammed's feelings. I'm not worried about changing other things. I want to see the world changed for the glory of God. So it came to pass, they came to the king, and major kings of that day and time, major armies, a great multitude was coming against them. Now, you know, in a few years of pastoring, my Lord, I've faced that time how many times? You know, you go through a lot of times and emotions and challenges over a period of time, and that goes with the territory. But they said, there cometh a great multitude, and there was a great multitude that was coming because the Bible tells us this was true. They were accurate in that. And you know, this king could have said, well, there's nothing you can do about it. And he could have surrendered, but he didn't. The Bible said he called the people to prayer. And could I just take a few moments and read the prayer? I'm so glad this prayer is recorded in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. Here is the prayer that they prayed. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen, and in thy hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God who did drive out the inhabitants of this land, that helped you when you were a teenager, that helped you when you were in college, that helped you when your marriage was young and you were facing problems? For some of you, that helped you through your time of divorce that was literally a hell on earth. Art not thou God who was there when I needed help so desperately? When I lost everything I had, or when it looked like I was going to lose everything? Are you not the same God? Didn't you drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? They dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil come upon us as the sword, judgment, pestilence, Wall Street, your savings, what you've worked hard for all of your life. I'm not playing on emotion. Folks, somebody's got to tell it like it is, and I'm trying to. I'm really trying to. We need some turnarounds. We must have some turnarounds in this nation. We must have some turnarounds. If when evil cometh as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, that we stand before this house. They didn't go down to Joe's bar. They didn't go to the sports bar. They didn't go to the nightclub. They didn't go to the disco. They didn't go to the girly place. When the pressure was on, they came and stood before the house of God. They said, I'm going to church. I need some help. I'm going to church. I've got to have the help of God. I'm going to church. That's where our help is. Our help's not in some gossipy friend or somebody that's been flaking. You've known that all your life. Hey, when the pressure's on, run to God. Don't run away from God. Run to God. And I know when you're young, your parents are paying all the bills, and you got a nice cell phone, you got nice threads and so on. Sometimes preaching like this, you think, man, he's a dinosaur. Let me tell you something. Everybody in this house, if you haven't, you will get an apple out of this bushel. Every one of you. There's going to be a day, there's going to be a circumstance, there's going to be some young lady that's going to break your heart, or some young man's going to break your heart, and things are not going to turn out like you thought they were, and you're going to say, where can I find help? I'm telling you, help is in God. Our help is in God. In must move on. They cry unto thee in our affliction, then will you not hear and help. Say it with me, hear and help. God specializes in hearing and helping. God's a hear and help God. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you wouldn't let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy... See what he's saying here, we gave them a pass. You said, don't go through there. Don't devastate them. Don't overwhelm them. Don't defeat these people. Now the very people that you gave a pass, the very people you've helped and you could have hurt, now they're coming against you to try to take you out. Sounds like basic life, doesn't it? Yeah. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. I like the emphasis there. Lord, you're the one that's given us everything we have. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? I'm in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. Will you not judge them? We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. This is a family affair. The whole family was feeling the sting of that. Now, I hope I have cried out to God. I'm doing my best to be as center of the Word of God and impartial. I'm not mad at anybody. I don't have time to be mad at the devil. He's a defeated foe. But I'm talking to us about basic life where we all live. We all need this. I need this. We all need this. Then upon Jehaziel came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And I'm telling you, there's nothing outside of the written Word of God any stronger than an accurate, anointed Word of God. I've heard and seen a lot of words over a period of time. But let me tell you, when every once in a while I see that real gleam in someone's eye and I realize they've heard a word from God. You know, nothing can stop that when you have that revelation in your heart. I've heard, if it's based on the word, I've heard some flaky stuff. We've all heard that. But hey, I'm after the real. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm after the genuine. And what we need genuine words from God that really work. We don't need pie in the sky words. We need genuine words from God that work. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants. Now here's what the anointed word said. Hearken, all Judah, and all inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. Be not afraid. Oh, there you go, Pastor Bob Nichols. You just pound this no fear here thing. Yeah? Because we all have a tendency to do it. The natural tendency is first to fear before we faith. We go by our instinct, our inclination. And if it's not guided by the Holy Spirit, that's what gets us in trouble. Be not afraid. Well, what can I do about it? He just told you, be not. Don't be. Refuse. Someone tearing your screen off, knocking your window pane out, big crowbar, you've got a phone there. Are you going to call 911? You're going to call the police? You're going to say, that's just the way things are nowadays. Terrible thing that man's doing to my house. It's obvious he's going to break in here and I'm next. You'd do whatever you could to protect your property. Be not afraid. So when fear comes, just say, in the name of Jesus. I mean, you got to say it. You got to believe it. In the name of Jesus, I refuse fear. Fear, no fear here. You're in the wrong house. You're in the wrong neighborhood. You've attacked the wrong person. My flesh may want to, I may have a tendency to, but I've made my faith decision. I will not fear. Nor be dismayed. Anything dis is not good. Okay. By reason of this great multitude. I mean, there's a reason. Reason says you've had it. Reason said you might as well throw up both hands. For the battle is not yours, but God's. A business person asked me yesterday, do you really believe the Bible? Do you believe all those stories in the Bible? And it caught me so off guard, I said, absolutely. I believe what I understand. I believe what I don't understand. For the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Now that takes the heat off. That takes the pressure off. I don't know who holds tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. The battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. Tomorrow. Aren't you glad for the believer there's always a tomorrow? Tomorrow! There's a faith tomorrow for every believer. And he told them what to do. He said, here's where the enemy is. Here's what you do. You go down. And verse 17, remember, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Now you say, wait a minute, that's a contradiction. No, you've already fought with your faith. You've already fought with your faith. Are you tracking with me now? So physically, on this one, now there were times they did physically have to get into battle, and but this is what he said on that occasion. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand you still. Set yourselves. Get yourself together. Get yourself a good strong cup of coffee or hot chocolate or hot tea. Set yourself. Set. I shall not be moved. Lock in. Set yourself. Don't be moved. Set yourself. This is so simple. I'm not trying to complicate it. I'm just trying to serve it up like it is. Set yourselves. Stand still. Hold it. Just stand still. And see. Do you see the salvation of the Lord? Are you willing to see? Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. The Bible said all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites are the children of the Kohites, and the children of the Levites and Korhites stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. I've just lived long enough to see days there was no answer but God's word. I've lived long enough to face situations there was no answer. Call everybody you want to call. Nobody has the answer. I know when we faced that impossible financial situation. Now, I went to two of the strongest faith people I could find. And they looked at me and said, you know, I wish we could help you, Bob, but we haven't been exactly where you are. So I had to just go back to my car and get into my Bible. When your closest friends don't have the answer, when preachers may not have the answer, when the financial analysis, you know, the expert may not have the answer, know how to get your hand on the promises of God. It's stronger than any sword. It's more protective than any shield. It's God's eternal word. And you know, the latter part of verse 20, I'll throw it in there. Sounds like a preacher. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And of course, they appointed singers unto the Lord. Thank God for anointed singers that should praise the beauty of holiness. I'm in verse 21 as they went out before the army. Isn't this a weird way to fight a battle? Could this work in Iraq? Could this work in Afghanistan? What if? Why not? Huh? What if? Why not? But it's got to be more than a ceremony. It's got to be real faith. Or you'll be history. And they said, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, or to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come out against Judah, and they were smitten. And what happened here? The enemy just turned on one another. And instead of them having to fight the enemy did the work for them. You know, think about people that don't have faith in God. You get them in a corner, they'll turn on each other every time. Yeah. Now, it's so much here. And when Judah came, verse 24, when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead. That multitude that came to do them in, they're dead. Bodies fallen to the earth and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance. Now, I just wrote down here, what happens when people pray? Well, God fights their battles for them. That's a good start, isn't it? God will fight your battles for you. That's good. Not only will God fight your battles for you, first of all, God heard them. Remember, God hears and God helps. I love the simplicity of the Word of God. God hears and God helps. And I'm giving you a chapter. You can go home and read my message this morning. So you have the notes in your hand there if you have a Bible. God hears and God helps. And then they got a sure word prophetically came from God. God said, you don't have to live in fear. The battle is not yours, but the battle is God's. And really, they had revival. You know, there's no answer for our nation but spiritual revival. I'm not talking, I could call the names of personalities that God has used in revival. But it's not a personality. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. We need whatever your brand of it is, whatever my brand, whatever humbles men's hearts and women's hearts before God. That's what we need. We don't need it. We must have spiritual revival. Oh, I know some people say, Pastor Bob Nichols sounds like a broken record. Just let the beat go on. I can't get away from it. I'm not the Doctrine of the Month Club kind of a guy. I don't wait for a magazine to come in to find out what I believe every month. I have God's Word, and it's been good in my life for lo these many years. I tell you, I still miss Brother Sam because we understood each other. He's a man that just didn't veer off course. We were two hard-headed guys, rebels without a cause, that God spared our life, and we never forgot that. And we devoted the rest of our lives, and of course, Brother Sam beat me there, to believing that God said what He meant and meant what He said. We don't need the latest religious fad. Well, if I could just find somebody that preaches it a little smoother, somebody that never talks about money, someone that gives us a clean hour and we're out of here. Okay. Don't quit. That's what God's saying to all of us. Well, spiritual revival. And there were two other things that I must give you. The nation, listen, are you listening? Everybody, the nation was saved. I have a very simplistic, obvious question. Can America be saved? Can our nation go back and read the history books? I know everybody wasn't perfect back then, but we had some godly evangelists and men like Finney and Whitfield and I mean, there were some awesome men and women of God that were in the beginning days of this nation. And it's not that long ago. It's not that long ago. As history of nations goes, it's not that long ago. You look at how old France is, and you look at some of these nations. It's not that long ago. God is still God. And if I'm dreaming, let me dream on. If I didn't have this hope, I'd close my Bible and walk out the door today. So just give me a cabin on the top of some snow-capped mountain. But I'm just naive enough to believe that God's kept me in this world to help make a difference. And to challenge you to make a difference. And together we can see this nation turned around for God. I'm jealous when I look into the face of 90-year-old or 91-year-old Billy Graham. 90-year-old, 91-year-old Oral Roberts and some others. And I say, oh God, we could roll the clock back. Where are these men that couldn't be bought? The next thing you hear about them, they're doing something. Well, we'll get into that. Where are people you can believe in? Where are people, when God blesses them, they'll do the right thing with what God gave them? We're not perfect. We have temptations. We think thoughts like everybody else. But we know how to say no to Satan and yes to God. We owe that to our generation. A few moments of pleasure. So what I'm saying is, the nation was saved. Can our nation be turned around spiritually? I'm talking about. Can our nation be turned around spiritually? It's time the stadiums were filled. Not for entertainment, but for a mighty move of God. And you know, I know the last one will get your attention because they were blessed financially. Brother Dale said something this morning. There was another part that I didn't have to. He said, you know, I do believe we're on the verge of seeing the wealth of this world system. There's going to be some transfer there. I mean, it's going in the wrong pockets right now. We're throwing good money on bad money. But it took them 3 days. How would you feel about it taking 3 days with your front end loader to scoop up all the diamonds, all the silver, all the gold? Excuse me, sir. I'm working this street. Excuse me. This is my... You can just get your Caterpillar busy over there. I mean, I can't handle it with my hands. I've got to have a front end loader. Come on, dream with me. Why not? 800 billion's a bunch of stuff. That's a lot of goods. And you know, back in the Old Testament days, God did stuff like this. I said, God did stuff like this. Oh, I can see that look in some of your eyes. Boy, he's out there now. You might be right, I'm out there. And I'm looking for mine to come back. Amen. I'm just crying out, oh God, revive us again. Move by your Spirit. But we want a nice little church and a nice little preacher and nice little singers and a church that doesn't talk about money and a church that gives us a short service. Well, just, and you got the short end of the stick too. The things of God are worth everything we can put into it. Folks, the book is true. 2 Chronicles 20. Our nation is in a world of hurt. Wall Street has gone crazy. The Ponzi schemes, it staggers your imagination. People are nuts that don't know Jesus as Savior. People are just crazy. I mean, they steal your money and tell you a lie when the truth sounds better. What can we do? We can get mad. We can quit. We can turn sour, we can turn bitter, or we can just say, my God reigns. God's done it before, and God can do it again.